Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host. Today our scripture is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, which says, "For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Here we have the God of the universe taking on flesh and blood. He was the creator of the whole world. He's God, and he became man. He became poor. Can you imagine leaving the side of God the Father and coming to earth as a helpless babe in a manger, and then growing up, living a sinless life, and then dying for his creation, for those who he loves and cares for so much, who have gone astray and need a Savior? He was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. When he died on the cross, he had you personally in mind. He bore your sins in his own body as he hung on the tree. He took your place. He made you rich, even though he died and rose again on the third day. What a great God we have. What a great Savior we have. What a great lover of our person we have, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he loved us so much that he became poor so that we could have our sins forgiven, that we could have eternal life, that we could have fellowship with him each day to grow and to have new experiences as he opens doors for us and uses us for his honor and for his glory. What a privilege we have to be brothers and sisters in Christ.
This is Dennis Campbell, president of Mission Go, sharing mission moments from our radio ministries around the globe. Deus hosts a radio program, Spreading the Good News. Recently, a listener was encouraged by their program and wrote, "Pray with me that I might be led by a local pastor." Through this program, Many have come to know Christ and have accepted him as their Lord and Savior. As it says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. We witness this precisely through people hearing the word and responding in faith. Another testimony is from Esther, who lives in Mwanza. She says, I thank God for the miracles he has done for me. I was suffering from stomach problems, dental issues, and a spirit of obsession. After listening to the program and through much praying and faith, God intervened in my life. I had also struggled to conceive after several failed pregnancies. When I contacted the pastor, he encouraged and prayed for me. Here is a testimony from one of our other listeners. My name is Danny. I was born in a Middle Eastern country. I am the only boy in my family with 5 sisters. Being the only male, I always got whatever I wanted. I grew up like any young man of my family's faith, but at 18, I started to feel that I was living with tension and pressure every day, and every day that passed, I was filled with anxiety. I suffered from fear and loss as if something was missing from me, despite the money I had. I searched in religious books and asked people. I tried to live in pleasure, but to no avail. Silence always controlled me, and an inner feeling of lack of peace haunted me. Since I had a lot of money and searched in religious books and did not find an answer, I thought that the problem was in society, so I went to live in another part of the Middle East. After 2 years, I still had the same feeling and moved to Europe. After 3 years, I moved to another location. Whenever I moved to a new country or a city, I thought peace existed. I go to new places, I live sins in all their forms, and I try to distract myself with pleasures, but the tension, pressure, and depression still control me. I decided to return to my home country after spending about 9 years abroad. After I returned to my country, I used to go to the clergy daily to read different readings and prayers, but for more than a year and a half, nothing changed. During this period, I met a young man named Yusuf, who works in a cafe near my house. And one day, I asked him to hang out with me to talk because I felt lonely and wanted to talk to someone. He apologized and said he couldn't but promised to meet on a holiday. On the holiday, I met Yusuf, and despite his busy schedule, he gave me his time and I saw the peace he had. We had different conversations, but for one reason or another, Yusuf told me that he felt a wonderful peace and that this peace came from God. He told me about his life before he experienced peace from God and what happened after he gave his life to Christ. Yusuf said, I was in your place one day searching for peace and freedom, and I thought I would find them in money or success, but I found only more emptiness until the day came when I decided to open my heart to Christ. He surprised me with this response, so I asked him curiously, how did this happen? Yusuf replied, when I repented of my sins and accepted Christ into my life, I felt a peace beyond all understanding, as if a heavy burden had fallen off my shoulders. I found true freedom, not only from external restrictions, but also from within. I was freed from fear, anxiety, and sexual sins. I trusted in Christ that He is the only Savior of my life, and that I cannot save myself, repent with my human strength, or be freed by doing good. Yusuf's words moved me. I decided to repent for what I was doing so that I might be freed from the curse. 3 months and no result. I met Yusuf several times, but he spoke to me from the Bible and about Christ. I tried to do what he said, but I was not able to feel it. This is the Holy Spirit who helps us behave according to God's heart, not any physical or material work. Just admit that you are guilty and cannot save yourself. Trust in Christ and ask for forgiveness. What he was saying was crazy to me, but I decided to listen to him. After 3 months of reading the Bible with Yusuf and praying in the name of Christ, I felt at peace. Without realizing it, I began to trust in Christ. I desired to read the Bible. I now have a relationship with God. I repented of my sins and transgressions and asked Christ to be the King of my heart and life. I found what I was looking for. I felt a peace that I had never known before, and I discovered that true freedom comes from accepting the divine love of Jesus that overwhelms the heart and frees it from all sin. I spend most of my time reading the Bible. My mother and father asked about my change, and they thought my friendship with Yusuf was the reason. I told them that the God of Yusuf was the reason. I love what Paul says to the Romans, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Romans 6:22. Beloved, please continue to pray for these dear missionaries. This month, we would like to make available a booklet about prayers that make a difference in our adult children's lives. Career choices, sense of purpose, and important decisions, health, marriage, and vital relationships. Financial struggles, emotional trials, and walk with God. Each prayer also includes a scripture verse to reflect on through your day. To order your copy of the booklet, The Power of Praying for Your Adult Children, written by Stormy O'Martin, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, zip code L2R7A7, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. We wish to bless your life with these messages. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. For any more questions about messages or information on this broadcast, you can email Tammy Campbell at tjcampbell@missiongo.org. Thank you. We at Mission Go pray this message will change your life and challenge you to seek a deeper understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take the time to read a couple of verses from the Bible in the book of Matthew 11:28-29. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy with burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. Visit www.missiongo.org or email us at tjcampbellmissiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers.
By and by.
Today's message is from Reverend Art Larson, as entitled, Freedom from Fear. I know you'll enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
An elderly woman with her little grandson, whose face was sprinkled with bright freckles, spent the day at the zoo. Lots of children were waiting in line to get their cheeks painted by a local artist who was decorating them with tiger paws. "You've got so many freckles, there's no place to paint," a girl in line said to the little fella. Embarrassed, the little boy dropped his head and slipped out of line. His grandmother knelt down next to him under a tree. She said, "I love your freckles. When I was a little girl, I always wanted freckles." She started tracing her finger across the child's cheek. "Freckles are beautiful," she said. The little boy looked up. "Really?" "Of course," said the grandmother. "Why, just name me one thing that's prettier than freckles." The little boy thought for a moment, peered intensely into his grandma's face, took his hands and traced his fingers across her cheeks, and then said, "There's one thing prettier, Grandma." She said, "What?" He said, "Wrinkles." You see, it's all in how you look at things. Well, friend, with all that's been happening in our world, there are a lot of people who are looking at life with great fear. I want to give you a verse today that is one of the greatest promises in all the Bible that will take away your fear. Now, before I give you this promise, which is in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, I want to remind you what Jesus said in the New Testament. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He said, "Fear not, little flock," speaking to his own believers. "It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Paul said in Romans 8, "God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, and his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." In 2 Timothy 1, 7, it says, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." In 1 John chapter 4, we read that perfect love casts out all fear, and he that is fearful, that lives in fear, is not made perfect in love. Why do I give you these verses? Because you cannot claim these promises and this particular promise in Isaiah 41:10 if you are not one of God's children, if you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, and through faith in him, repenting of your sin and receiving him as your personal Savior and Lord, entering into a living, vital relationship with him, and thus becoming one of God's redeemed children. If you have not done that, then you cannot claim this promise. It's through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Because he says, "Fear not," verse 5, "I am with thee." How wonderful it is to know that when Paul, writing about his last days, and in 2 Timothy chapter 4, says, "Timothy, I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." He says, "At my first defense, not one other person stood with me." Ah, but he says, 2 Timothy 4:17, don't you forget it, friend. You may feel all alone today, but listen to what Paul said. "Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." And he will do the same for you, because he said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." The first wonderful assurance from Isaiah 41:10 is this, God's presence. "Fear not, I am with thee." Secondly, we see God's providence. "Be not dismayed." Don't get all shaken. Don't get all out of sorts. Don't panic. Be not dismayed. Don't begin to question and wonder. "For I am thy God." Here is the promise of God's providence, the assurance that the great I am is your God. How great is he?
Read Isaiah chapter 40, and you'll see that he made all things, that he flung the stars into space, that he calls them all by name, that he is a creator who faints not, neither is weary. He is the one who says, I am thy God. And the very first I am in Genesis 15 and verse 1 was the time when he said, fear not, for I am your exceeding great reward, and I am your shield. And fear not, Abram, I am that I am. You remember how it was when Moses was called after spending 40 years in the palace learning to be somebody, and 40 years on the backside of the desert learning to be nobody, that God called him to lead the children out of bondage in Egypt into the glorious liberty, and eventually to the very edge of the promised land that Joshua later led them into. And when he called Moses, Moses said, not me. There's no way I can do it. I'm a nobody. There's no way that I could ever have the influence over all these people. When I go to them and say, here's the plan, they're going to say, who sent you? Who gave you the authority? And what shall I tell them, Lord? And God said, you tell them, I am that I am sent you. That's the name Jesus claimed in John chapter 8, verses 56, 57, and 58. Jesus said, Abraham saw my day. That's probably where Genesis 15 comes in, where he appeared to Abram and said, fear not, I'm your shield, I'm your exceeding great reward. He said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. And they said, how can you say that? You're talking about Abraham, he lived so long ago. How do you know Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. John 8, 58. Jesus Christ is claiming there to be the great I am. And of course, when you study your Bible, you soon realize and find out that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. He says, fear not, I am with you. Fear not, don't be dismayed. I am thy God. And then he says, yes, I will strengthen you. Not only see God's presence and providence, but his power. He will strengthen you. How does he strengthen us? He strengthens us with strength in our soul. Psalm 138, verse 3. He strengthens us. God is a refuge and strength for us, a very present help in time of trouble. When you read Psalm 27, which is the favorite psalm of many people, the psalmist here says, David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now listen, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When Paul struggled with a thorn in the flesh and had great fears about how he could ever go on in life with this terrible paining thorn in his life, God said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul said, I'll glory then in my infirmities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. How? With the strength of the Lord. No wonder God says, don't you fear, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, I'm your God. I will strengthen you. And then he says, yea, I will help you. That's his provision. Not only his presence, his providence, and his power, but his provision. I will help you. The word help means to gather forces. How many times we have claimed promise after promise of God's help in the scriptures. For example, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to, not just out of, but according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Oh, there is no end to his riches. God is a very present help in time of trouble. And how wonderful to know that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, that our great high priest is now there in the presence of God interceding for us, having lived here, tempted and tested in all points like we are, apart from sin. Therefore, we can come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and grace to help us In the time of need, God says, don't you fear, I'm with you. Be not dismayed, I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. And then he says, last of all, yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness, or with my righteous right hand. In Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24, and David has already said, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. The Lord upholds him with his hand. We're in his hand. The mighty hand that flung a universe in space, that guides the sun and moons and stars and holds the planets in their place. We're in his hand, that skillful hand that made the blinded eyes to see, that touched the leper, cleansed and healed, and set the palsied sufferer free. We're in that hand, that loving hand that lifted children to his breast, that fed the hungry multitudes and beckoned weary hearts to rest. We're in his hands, those pierced hands, once nailed to Calvary's cruel tree. When there in agony and blood, he paid the price to set us free. Those hands are still outstretched to bless his people's wayward feet to guide, till dawn shall break and shadows flee, when he shall come to claim his bride. Then in those saint-thronged courts above, from every clime and every land, with wondering joy we'll look on him who bore the nail prints in his hand and who holds us in his righteous right hand. Friend, Isaiah 41:10, if you know him as your Savior, you can claim it. His presence, I'm with you. His providence, I am your God. His power, I will strengthen you. His provision, I will help you. His protection, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell shall endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. He means it, my friend. Take him at his word. Stop fearing. Trust him. Rest in him. And with joy know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are his forever, bought with his precious blood. Rejoice in it today.
This month, we would like to make available a booklet about prayers that make a difference in our adult children's lives. Career choices, sense of purpose, and important decisions, health, marriage, and vital relationships. Financial struggles, emotional trials, and walk with God. Each prayer also includes a scripture verse to reflect on through your day. To order your copy of the booklet, The Power of Praying for Your Adult Children, written by Stormy O'Martin, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, zip code L2R7A7, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Visit www.missiongo.org or email us at tjcampbellmissiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers.